Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Today is the, if you follow the Advent calendar, today's the third Sunday in the Advent, the third out of four. So that would be joy. I think the first Sunday is you celebrate hope. The second Sunday you celebrate love. The third Sunday you celebrate joy. And the fourth is peace or a shalom, which is fantastic in itself. We're ready to study Romans chapter 16, so I don't know if we're going to finish up our walk through Romans. Depends on the timing. We'll at least get through the first 16 verses today, and then we'll go from there. Let's start in Isaiah 61. In studying, I'm sure there are, but in studying Romans 16, I did not come up with an Old Testament scripture. So Isaiah 61 is based upon the Christmas celebrations and upon Jesus coming for the first Advent, and then as we wait for him for the second Advent. So maybe you'll find some ties in between the two chapters, but I have not yet found them. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for all the spirit of heaviness, and they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall bind the old waste, they shall rise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And the strangers shall stand and feed the flocks, and sons of the alien shall be your plowmen in the vine dress, but ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall boast. Ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring shall be the people. And they that see them shall acknowledge them, and they that see, and they that are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and the bride adorned herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown to in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to springs before all the nations. Let's sing together. Maybe we could sing, I don't know if Joy to the World is in the Brown Book, or number 40, O Come All Ye Faithful. Song leaders, choose. Thank you. Let's pray together. Sovereign Lord, we come to you in the great name of Jesus, the Messiah, the one who is, who was, and who is yet to come. You brought him here in the birth of a virgin birth. He was laid in a humble manger. He grew as a man. He was human. He was God. He was your beloved Son, whom you were well pleased. He sacrificed himself as the Passover lamb, died upon the cross, shed his blood, and rose again. In his great name, Jesus, we come boldly to your throne. Lord, we want to pause and worship you and praise you and how holy you are, Father, and for how what great love you have. You gave of your only Son to redeem us from sin. We worship you for this. We are unworthy. None of our works, no works, no following the law can bring us to you. Only your Son. We worship you, Father. Lord, we pray that your kingdom come and your will be done. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll give us thankful hearts. We pray that you'll help us live in community as a church. We pray that you help us treat others the way we'd want to be treated. We pray that you help us treat others the way Christ treated us. That's what you want. Lord, we pray that the lost, Father, we pray that the lost will be found. Father, we pray that the meek will be preached to. We pray that you will bind the broken heart. We pray that liberty will come to captives. And that you have power over all addictions. We pray that you open the prison doors to all that are bound in sin. And Father, we pray that you'll return at your appointed time. Father, we thank you for your compassion and mercy, how you have not returned yet, as there are lost, those who will be sent to those of us, those of anybody not in Christ will be sent to eternal hell, Father. You don't want that. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll dwell among us. Father, we pray for our Sunday school who's here this morning. We pray for our Sunday school teachers. We pray for our youth. We pray that our youth will seek you. We pray that our youth will fall hard after you, Father. Use the Sunday school teachers. Use this church body so they will see your love. Father, we pray for our hearts this Christmas season, that we celebrate you and we worship you. Father, open our eyes. What do you want us to hear over Romans 16? For thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen. So just to reread Isaiah, verse 10, 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, as the bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So one theme as the preparation as we get into Romans 16, it is the Lord that clothes us with salvation. If we review over Romans, which we're not going to today, right? Men is sin. Men is fallen. Jesus Christ saves us. It's not of works. Ephesians, Titus, it's not of works. Jesus saves us, right? And then there's salvation, there's sanctification. First, justification. We're justified because of the cross. And then we're sanctification and we grow. And we have the chateau, same in a word. Romans 12:1. Therefore, and then it breaks into the response of the believer. And in Romans 16, it's such a love chapter. There's so much love in Romans 16. Right? As we read 16, as I'm reading through all these names, I'm thinking about how much love Paul and his team of writers had. I think if I'd want to go through the book of Romans again, I'd probably start in chapters 15, 16, then go into 1, because you get the great setting of where they're at. Right, Paul doesn't actually pen this himself. He's in community, and we find out who it's not. It's Tertius is the one actually writing it down, and Tertius is being hosted and living in Gaius's house. Right, there's so many names. If you compare Romans 16 to the last chapters of the books that Paul wrote, right, he gives greetings usually just two or three people, two or three verses. But here you got like 16 verses. We got some cultural background. How was this letter going to go to get to the Romans? How does the letter get there? Do you think they hit send? Type in the email address, romans@romans.gov, church, send. You think you put it in the post office? Hey, we're going to send this in the... Maybe they did have a post office. They sent it with people. And Phoebe, I believe Phoebe carried this letter. Probably not by herself. We're going to learn the importance of women. Right? No other time, no other teaching. Right? Jesus set women free in the culture. If you're not, I've heard it said, if you're a woman and you're not a believer, you should be a fan of Jesus just for what he did for women and women's rights. You want women and women's rights? Their biggest fan is Jesus, our Messiah. because he set it straight. And it's been terrible. I don't know if I need to apologize for men in the past and chauvinism, how they used the Bible to even put down, men have used the Bible to put down women. That's terrible. We're going to see, so as we go through these greetings, right, I think there's 28 different individuals. He lists 26 by name, right? So one who's not named would probably be Rufus's mom, right? She goes, hey, tell Rufus, mom, my mom, hi. Right, so you got 28 by name, 28 total, 26 by name. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, there's rich, there's poor, there's men, women, married, singles, leaders, followers. There's people in the Christian vocation, right? Just serving the Lord full time. And then there's those who are in marketplace vocation. There's those in the government and there's those not in the government. You got two married couples. You got two that are sisters. You got two mothers and her sons. Nine are women. You got five men appear to be spiritual leaders. You got two groups as whole households and three groups representing the whole church in Romans. He covers his bases. Then at the end, he even says, who's all giving greetings? They're finishing this up. I wonder how long it took them to write this. Just the overwhelming love. Now, this church of Romans is one of Paul's favorite churches. What do I mean by that? This is one of Paul's favorite churches. I think his favorite churches are those he don't know. And I maybe refer that to as a father's love. Right? So Romans here, hey, they hear their good works. He doesn't have any strong criticisms. You can contrast that to the Corinthian church and to the Galatian church. Those two come to mind. Right? Oh, foolish Galatians. Right? So he's with Galatia and they were following the Lord and they kind of fell back and started following the law to be more religious. And you got the Corinthian church who got caught up into the world. And so their greetings are a little bit different at the end. I think it was the Flint. Which other church? The Thessalonians had some idols in their lives. Colossians. The Philippians. They were the first to give. They're one of maybe Paul's favorite churches. Right, so this is a very, this is maybe how it's supposed to look like. We're supposed to take the word, right? And we read the word and we ask God, what does the word say? And then we reflect it to our heart and we can take a mirror, as James says, and we can see how we're doing. As we read through this list, we got who he's writing to, and then we have a lot of why he's writing to. So we're going to take up the word and we're going to reflect it up and we can be like, huh, is that me? How would Paul end his writing to the Indy church? How would he end the writing to us? Would we be one of Paul's favorite churches? Or would we have deficits? Have we got caught up too much into the world? Are we trying to be too religious by following the law? Like the Galatians, making it the works. We've got to get our works in. How would Paul write it to this? All right. So we're gonna tear into these verses. We'll probably go verse by verse. I hope you've read it recently. We're gonna try to cover the first 16 verses in a chunk. I am not good with enunciations. Terrible. And one thing I figured out made this worse is the Bible here in the pulpit's got like the long lines and the emphasis where the King James versions in your Bible don't have those little things. It even makes it worse. If I'm struggling, I might just say the first letter of the name, right? Greet A. Greet Mr. T, right? So please forgive me. I don't want to distract from the word, or I might try to say it as one brother once kindly said. He goes, yep, you know, I probably wouldn't announce everything the same way you do, Joe. Right? Very, very, very kind. And so I guess I want to bring that out as we tear into this and apologize, especially to our visitors. Gavin, you probably didn't know that about me, but it's true. All right. So let's talk about Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is the servant of the church, which is in Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, that you assist her in whatever so business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. What did Phoebe do? What should the church's response be? Phoebe's taking the letter. She is a sister in Christ. She is a servant of the church. She is a succorer of many. Patron. A patron of the arts, right? You guys know the word patron? I've heard the term, but a patron is somebody who supports somebody else. A patron is somebody who supports somebody else, right? So at Heritage, you got the Friends of Fine Arts, and you got the patron, so you can give a gift, and you're just giving a gift to the arts department. You do nothing. You don't teach the music. You don't teach the play. You don't teach the art. You don't do the music. You don't do the art. You don't do any of the work. You're just the patron. Phoebe's a patron. She's much giving. I hope you guys caught the prefaces, how it's not of works. Because we tear into these chapters, as we tear into these lists, there's 12 action reasons. There's 12 items I counted. Why 12 works, why these people are to be greeted. 12 things there's done. 11, I'm sorry. There's 12 just because. Just because they're loved. Or there's no reason. So it's a great mixture of works do matter, works don't save. Works don't matter, works don't save. As we read into this, we're going to tear it in. So maybe let's think about it as a seatbelt. Who here does not wear a seatbelt? Okay, raise your hand if you wear your seatbelt all the time. All right, I see some of you. Okay. Personally, usually the time I'm fastening my seatbelt as I'm going down the first street. Right, that's me. Sometimes in the back seat on a trip, I don't feel all the way. Raise your hand again if you wear your seatbelt all the time. All right, Jonas, Elias, Silas, I see you. Who else? Okay, Kevin Gutwein, he's not here, is he? Fantastic. He doesn't wear a seatbelt on Sunday mornings a lot of times. Right? And he's got a car that dings at you, so he'll click it behind him. Right? I was hoping to get his permission before I told on him. I don't always wear my seatbelt. Okay, so what does seatbelt have to do with Romans 16? Everybody says seatbelts are going to save your life. Right? Studies have shown you have a lot of chance of not getting hurt as bad. It's such a big deal that our state, the state of Indiana, says, if you don't wear your seatbelt, we're going to fine you. Because it's actually better for our society because we've got less medical. I don't know why they do it. They think it's because it's better for you. You've got to wear your seatbelt. We care so much about kids who can't even choose for themselves. You know, you got to be in a car seat. And these are the scientific regulations. Go for it. It's a big deal. But why is it such a big deal? And some of us still don't wear our seatbelts. I believe that this seatbelt would help me if I got in an accident. So I have a problem. What's my problem? One, I don't really believe the seatbelt will save me. So I don't have an action point of clicking it. I don't believe that it really will. I think I got a better chance of being thrown out the window. It's just dumb. Right? Or I think I'm not going to be in an accident. Yeah, it will save me, but the chances of me, you know, I've driven for 40 years and I've had no major accidents. I haven't driven for 40 years. I'm not that old. So what's my problem? What's your problem? Right? I know some kids in the back seat. They're not wearing seatbelts. Well, your brain's just developing. Right? You're not connecting. Logically, you're not connecting this. Why don't we wear seatbelts? But I believe. So maybe, I don't know. You got to check each analogy with Scripture, right? So you believe. I believe a seatbelt will save me, but I choose not to wear it. Do I really believe? I believe a seatbelt. If I believe a seatbelt will save me, won't I click it? If I don't click it, do I really believe? Listen, if we don't have actions flowing out of your faith, do you really believe? If you're not on fire, if you don't have the Holy Spirit given to us by the Lord, pressed upon our hearts. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. What's the word say? It says, you didn't feed, it says, sheep, hey, you fed me. You gave me drink. You put clothes on me in my time of need. You visited me when I was sick. You visited me when I was in the prison. Come. Come to eternal rest. Very works-based. Hey, you goats, you did not feed me. You did not give me drink. You did not put clothes on my back. You did not visit me when I was sick. You did not visit me when I was in prison. Go to your eternal damnation. And yet you compare that with Ephesians. Let's compare it. We haven't gotten to the chapter, the scriptures yet. We compare that into Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:20. For no one can ever be right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows how sinful we are. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if be of works, then is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. They got to merge somehow. Shame to us. So one thing I've learned through this walk through Romans is I don't want to overemphasize. I can't overemphasize work. I can't overemphasize grace and salvation. That's a trick. There's many things. As I go through these reasons, I can't overemphasize Rufus, who's chosen in the Lord, and then overemphasize Mary, who's blessed because she labors. Are you wearing your seatbelt? Do you believe? Right? So Phoebe is a hard worker. Her faith is such that she is working much for the church. She is giving of herself. How's the church? What's the church supposed to do? Receive her. This is such a community, such a church chapter. They're to receive Phoebe and to help Phoebe. Help her. She's going to need stuff in her business. Whatever she's going to do. Listen, I know her heart. She's following the Lord. Whatever she needs, do it. Do it. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. This is the greatest connection that Paul has to Priscilla and Aquila. These are the tent makers. These are his buddies side by side. Apparently, at some time, they risked their life. They risked their own life for Paul. Something happened. Paul, you need to keep going. We're stepping in. And they risked their own necks. Isn't that how we're called to love? Hey, Indy, blessed Indy, for you are risking your own necks for each other. Would Paul say that? Their own necks. They laid down their lives. We're to love as Jesus loved us. 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house, right? Their whole church. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, whom is the first fruit of maybe Asia in another version, unto Christ. Here we have Mr. E being saluted because he was the first fruit, the first convert in Asia. And he's just beloved. 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor unto us. Right? I'm assuming that the Jewish people, they were cast out. And so Paul somehow has been around these people. And then they've gone back to, or they've gone to Roman. So listen, greet Mary, which bestoweth much labor unto us. This is where it hit me. Studying this verse. Would that be said of me? Do I labor much? What that saying to me? We all are busy, right? We're all busy. Busy is not a virtue. We think it is. Busy is not a virtue. So I got a lot of time. I don't really feel like I'm being too slothful. But do I labor much unto the Lord? Do you labor much? Salute Andronicus and Juno, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. I like these guys. Right? So these guys, they're kinsmen. What's a kinsman? Well, first of all, they have to be Jewish, because Paul's Jewish. That for sure. But then whether they're a cousin or a blood relative, you got some different opinions there. Whether this kinsman usually means an actual family, maybe a blood member. But either way, it's somebody very special. They also would have some action. That's just who they are. They'd have some action as they got in prison with Paul at one point. They were thrown in. And they were Christians before Paul. So these guys had to work through forgiveness, didn't they? These guys had to work. These are a few that we have named who Paul would have hunted. These probably would have known Saul. This is Paul? I got to forgive this guy? And then they were able to reconcile. They obviously reconciled, right? Don't forget, church, forgiveness and reconciliation are two separate things. I know I've said this before, and I think it's worth repeating. Forgiveness, we got to forgive. You are commanded to forgive. You've been wronged. I am sorry. You are commanded to forgive. You have to in your heart somehow, it's not, we can't, this is where we have proof of the Holy Spirit to be able to forgive when we've been wronged. But you don't have to be reconciled. They were able to reconcile to Paul because he stopped chasing to kill them, right? Oh, hey, Paul wants to kill me. I forgive him. I'm not going to go hang out with him where I'm in prison with him. I'm not going to be reconciled with Saul. I might have to forgive him, but I'm not going to be reconciled. Saul repents, stops chasing people to kill him. Whew. Actually becomes, right, an outstanding believer who loves Jesus with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, as he has always loved God, and then seeks for peace and truth. Ah, I can be reconciled. Take it to a personal level. It doesn't say this, but what if Juno lost one of their children to Paul's hand? Right? What if this was a personal? What if they lost a parent or somebody who they care deeply for? Now all of a sudden, forgiveness has a whole different realm. These guys were also great reputation. Right? The apostles knew them. The apostles, the 12, the 11. They actually knew him. They knew, like, these guys are like all-stars. Greet Amphibius, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 8. These are just my beloved in the Lord. I don't know which ones are girls or boys, right, in the terms there. But it could be kind of risque here. Does Paul got a girlfriend? If he does, she lives in Rome. I don't think he does. But if he would have a girlfriend, it would be a girl he likes. It would be in Rome, right? My beloved. Salute Urbane, my helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. There it is. And Statius, my beloved. Right? So Paul's got this deep and daring love. He really loves these people. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet them that are in the Aristobulus household. No reason given. The first one, Apelles, is because they are approved in Christ. Are we approved in Christ? How do you become approved in Christ? And the second one is of the household. No reasons given. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. You have another Jewish believer for sure, possibly a cousin. Greet them that are in the household of Nicarius, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Typhrus, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Pyrrhus, which laboreth much in the Lord. There it is, Pyrrhus, that laboreth much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Rufus, right? It's believed that Rufus' dad is the one who carried the cross for Jesus, happened to come in and be that person there that they laid his cross on, right? Hey, Mark writes about it. Mark would have been with Peter, and there's a chance that Mark would have been, that book might have been written in Rome, so they would have maybe mentioned Rufus' name in there. So Rufus, you know Rufus? He's the one who saw Jesus go up, and actually his dad carried the cross. And then you wonder what happened to Rufus' dad. Why isn't Rufus' dad mentioned here? I don't know. I would speculate. I should never speculate. I'd speculate, right? That I'm not going to speculate. It's not mentioned. So just Rufus, chosen in the Lord. And then you got his mom. And whose mom is this? His mom becomes a second mom to Paul. That's so beautiful. Does anybody here have a second mom? I hope so. Can we look around here? Hey, Indy. Oh, I can pick on the women here. Hey, women. Hey, women of Indy. Are you being a second mom to anybody? Because apparently we're a transitional church. We are a transitional church, Gavin. So if you come here, you don't have any family, you'll be one of us. Normal, okay? We're a transition. We have very few grandpas and grandkids worshiping in this church at the same time, right? We've got a lot of grandkids, a lot of grandkids. There's a lot of grandpas out there, but very few grandpas and grandkids are worshiping here in this Indy. So we need Rufus's moms, right? And this applies to us men, people coming alongside and adopting each other. Paul makes such a beautiful passage and mine. Greet Rufus's mom and mine. Salute a Sinistris, Philegon, Pharamus, Petropius, Hermas, and their brethren which are with them. Gives no reason. Just salute them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nephorus and his sister. So there's a sister, Olympias, and all the saints that are with them. No reason given. Salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So being church and being a community is hard, right? I know I don't personally know these two individuals, but I have a dear friend who goes to a different church. In their church, they have a pastor who my friend is friends with, and they have another friend of his, right? I don't even know the guy's name for sure. I'm going to call him. What should I call him? I heard a couple things. Let's call him Olympias. Sorry, Olympias comes to mind because it's one of the few words I think I'm saying right in here. So he's got his friend Olympias, and he's got the pastor. And the pastor comes up and he says, and it's time to nominate elders of their church, right? So different terminologies than the word we use. Elders would probably be a body that kind of hold the pastor accountable, maybe something similar to our stewardship committee. And Olympias is not nominated. So in their church, they would nominate some elders, then the church body would put in the elders, right? The congregations would vote or somehow. So it's whatever process, we got to figure out how to make it work, and that's great. I'm not judging that. But Olympias thought that he should have been an elder. So he's got some conflict. So I'm not going to give you the background, and he's got reason why he should be. He does a lot. He does a lot for the church. At the same time, you can hear him say, "We're also visiting other churches." Right? I guess I am telling him on him. I don't think anybody knows him. So hey, he does a lot. And then so my friends of both, that he finds out the pastor's like, hey, I should go talk to him and apologize and just let him know what I'm thinking. And hey, thanks for your, you do a lot, but you also, sometimes you feel like you got one foot out the door, and to be an elder here all in, and he's just really hurt. And so there's a riff. They got a riff they got to figure out. And so my friend's like, what do? I can kind of see both ways. And so the point of the story is, it's normal. We're going to have riffs. We're going to make mistakes. We're human. We're mere men. So to living in shalom, in peace, in harmony, right? So let's talk about shalom a little bit, how I recently heard it described. Very popular in our culture. Is even a subdivision in Westfield called Harmony. It's a new subdivision they're putting out in Westfield, right? And just this, so I bring that up to be like, yes, don't we want this utopia? There's a movie, Utopia, about animals recently, and we want this harmony, and we just all want to feel good and right. But shalom is much harder than that. Shalom can also mean no gaps in the wall, right? It's a solid wall. It's a complex unit that's fit together. And that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to make sure there's no gaps in the wall. So as we think about shalom, as we think about what the church should be, knowing there's going to be conflicts, there's going to be personality differences, and let's communicate and work towards them and create shalom. We do that first by going to each other directly, right? Don't go tell Ken that somebody else is doing something you don't like. Don't you dare do that to him. Until you first have prayed, taken the beam out of your eye, and went to that person directly. Said, whoa, what you doing? You're not doing this. What are you thinking? Sit down and have a meal with them. There was a visiting minister the other day here. I'm not sure who it was. And they made a comment how they both love Christ, and they're seeing there's this action, and they're just seeing it from different points of view, and they had a meal together. And it's like, oh, that's how you see that. Oh, that's how you see that. Yeah. And they embraced. I don't know if they actually embraced or not. Right? So don't you go to Ken unless you first went to somebody, went directly, right? Because we got to work towards shalom. We got to take the gaps out of our wall. This is your family. If you're here, we are your church and we are your family. We are. So we got to work it out. We're going to mess up. And we better go to each other, because sometimes we need to go to each other. Because if we don't, then we're going to lose a piece of the wall and there's going to be a gap. This living as a Christian church, it can be hard. It's also a great gift. We don't have to do it alone. To do life alone is terrible. We'll end on verse 16. I think. We got just a few minutes here. So, what do you do with this verse? Right? Salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. I could talk about the handshake and the kiss. How we don't do it right because we're not embracing and kissing on the cheek. That's what that's supposed to be like. I don't want to talk about whether we greet with a kiss or not. What I want to talk about is your heart, is my heart, right? To greet a brother with a holy kiss. Some of my warmest greetings is getting breakfast with Ken at Cracker Barrel. We like the egg. It's been too long. We like the egg sandwiches because dollar for food is terrific at Cracker Barrel. And I like the egg kind of messy, unless I'm with somebody who I'm trying to impress. I know Ken well enough. I'll get a little messy. It's been so long since I've had one. It's got tomato on there. I digress. It's almost lunchtime, by the way. But man, to see Ken at Cracker Barrel in the morning and to give each other a hug. We don't kiss there. Actually, I might sometimes reach over and kiss him on the cheek. Right? It is such a warm greeting. I'm not saying that we shouldn't kiss each other. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, what's your heart? Do you come to church? Do you come to a gathering where there's going to be other believers, and are you excited to see them? First of all, do you even know your brother? Do you know who's here? Ezra, do you know who's here? 4 months. Let's go. I think you're doing well. I see you quite a bit. Right? Do you know Ezra? Do you know your brother? Because if you don't even know him, how can you greet him with a holy kiss? I greet. I go to a home church and I greet everybody I see there. And some people are like, I greet them, but I don't really know you. How holy is my kiss? Is it just practicing culture? Man, I'm just excited. That's an introvert. Now I'm an extrovert, so I get charged up with people, right? Being around people charges me up. Some of us are introverts, right? And so then like people drain us. And we need some alone time. All of us are combinations, right? Even us extroverts like to have time alone. Even you introverts like to have people around. God makes us different. It's beautiful. I might be preaching more to the extroverts here because I don't know what it feels like to be an introvert as much. Right? So do you know your brother? Do you love your brother? Is there anybody you're trying to avoid? Have there been people you've wanted to avoid in your life? Oh, I want to avoid them. Oh, I got that to work out. I want to avoid them. I've been that way with the Lord. Right? Wasn't walking super close with the Lord in their not so recent past. And I remember just laying in the bed, trying to get out of bed. I want to go spend time with the Lord, but I'm like, I need to go get right with the Lord. I kind of avoided him. I got right with him, and it's fantastic. He loves me so much. The people you avoid, I can't think of a person I've avoided lately. If I don't know your name, isn't that awkward when you don't know somebody's name? For me, I got to really know your name to connect with you, but I see somebody like, I'm so sorry, Gavin. I see Gavin like at an event, and then a year later, I'll see him like, I want to connect with him, but what's his name? So we get the name issue. Give each other grace, right? Or I should know that you moved jobs, you're working somewhere else, but I can't quite remember, but I want to connect and ask you, but I'm going to mess it up and do, am I hurting your feelings? I hope not. So come on. Let's have some grace for each other. Let's also work and to know each other and to know names and just to be able to greet and love and have each other's backs. Let's greet. Let's greet. Let's greet with love.
Well, it seems like two themes, at least in my mind, emanate from this passage. When I read through this, I think, what are the characteristics that Paul points out? You know, what are the important traits? And I think, you know, as Brother Joe went through this, I think that the qualities of love and service, you know, I think those two qualities are the qualities of love and service. Come from this passage. And, you know, I think that should be our prayer for one another. You know, as we pray for each other and then to practically carry that out. I know it's been a prayer of mine for myself, Matthew 9, 20, 37 and 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. And Jesus says, the harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. And then I want you to pray, Jesus says, and this is what you pray. You pray that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, and that's a prayer of mine for myself, and it's a prayer for our family, and it's a prayer for our church. And you know, you see this, Phoebe is a servant of the Lord, a worker of the Lord. You look at verse 6, you look at verse 12, you know, they're laborers. You pray for laborers, and Paul prayed for these and also loved them. So I it's been a good, good morning just to think about these things, just those two qualities of being a lover and a laborer, I guess. You know, those two qualities. You know, we want to love and we want to labor in the harvest and in the Lord's harvest. And the harvest is all around us. And may God give us wisdom and grace to be a laborer for him and love in our church. So great, great way to finish. And I like what Brother Joe said. It's almost like you could start there. You start there and then go back to Romans 1. It would be a good, worthy activity to do that. Start at the end and then go back to the beginning. So let's sing a hymn together, please. That's a very nice song, very nice. We ask a brother to close in prayer and please include the noon meal.
God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you once again in this morning hour. We come boldly before the throne because of who you are, but who you've made us as well. You've made us your sons and daughters. And so for that, Lord, we can fellowship with brothers and sisters and, Lord, recognize the family that you have made us, because as Isaiah tells us, you've brought liberty to us who were once captives. You've traded our ashes for beauty. And we know this is only because of your Son and because of his sacrifice on our behalf. And so we celebrate, Lord. We celebrate this time of year because of the sacrifice that was made in originally coming, choosing to take on flesh and become man. And so we are thankful for that, Lord. But we're much more thankful because in taking on flesh, Christ was able to live a perfect life and be a perfect sacrifice for us, so we could be, again, that family now that fellowships together. So we thank you and praise you. We ask for your blessing on the food as we fellowship together at noon. In Jesus' name, amen.